Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, now a part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, which is located over at ace-ed.org. That's right, ACE-ED.org, and you're invited to become a member. If you're an educator anywhere in pre-K-20, please go over to ace-ed.org and join with us. It is free. Over there, you'll see our magazine, which is an absolutely excellent magazine. It's an online journal called Equity in Access. Just click on the words, read the current issue, and it'll open up, and you'll be able to see all the wonderful things we're doing over there. All right, and you'll see an icon along the top of the page for the podcast. Click through that. It's got all the recent podcasts. A lot of our archives are over there. We're moving a lot more archives over there as well. So everything's there at ace-ed.org. All right. One of the groups that writes for us every so often and does some work for us is a group that we love, the Kentucky Valley Educational Co-op, and we've got them on the air today here with me. I'm going to bring both Desi and Jeff on right now. All right, and we're going to talk about the wonderful things they're doing in this one of the best ESAs out there, Educational Service Agency. Okay, one of the best. They're talking about doing a lot of work in SEL, and they're doing a lot of work for equity and access. They service rural Kentucky and eastern Kentucky. So let me, ladies first, Desi, hello, welcome.
Hey, Larry, how are you today?
I am just fine, my dear. Everything going well, Dr. Bowling?
Well, it's going very well. We had some snow, yeah, but it is gone away, and it's just led to some cold weather. But it's winter, so we're
it is happy. Winter, but I didn't realize you'd have snow this early where you are. I'm surprised when you said that.
We sure did.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How high up are you? Is it the elevation, or is it just – I'm amazed at that out in rural Kentucky. Okay, eastern Kentucky got snow already. Well, how mm-hmm. – are you guys high up?
I think it just came through because we had snow in central Kentucky as well and that far north.
Oh, I'm just surprised at that. Well, put on your snowshoes. I'm glad you made it to work. Are you guys have good with snow plowing? Desi, before I bring Jeff, are you guys good at snow plowing and stuff?
Oh, and good at shoveling. Yes, we are.
Well, welcome to winter, my dear friend. Okay, Dr. Jeff Hawkins, are you there?
I am, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, my friend. I'm so glad we got this together. Jeff and I were writing all the stuff we needed to put the show together, and I had one letter off on his email, and he wasn't getting my emails. I thought something had gone wrong. I'm so glad you're with us today, Jeff. You and Tessa.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you, Larry.
Well, thanks, buddy. That feeling, by the way, is seriously mutual. We just love you guys and love all the wonderful work you're doing. I'm just going to throw this question out there, then either one of you can answer. I'll let you decide. Tell us all about KVEC, the Kentucky Valley Ed Co-op. Desi or Jeff?
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'll take a first swipe at it, I guess.
Go for it, Jeff.
Yeah, so for folks who may be new to KVEC, I'll just give you a thumbnail sketch. Larry had mentioned that we are an education service agency, and we've been here since 1969. So we've been around for a while. Originally, KVEC had 8 member public school districts. During the last decade or so, we've grown to 23. And we have had that expansion, I think, because we really focus on teaching and leadership and learning, and that makes people want to gravitate together to focus on those core elements of what makes a school system. And we are in a geographic area. You and Desi were talking about snow, so we're in eastern Kentucky, up in the mountains, and our area borders on West Virginia, Ohio, Virginia, and Tennessee. So we're right in the we like to
the triad area.
Yeah, that's right. We're
quadad, whatever the hell it is.
It's over here on this side of the state. So we do a lot of things. We try to address the ecosystem of education, focus on early learners. with multiple programs, including reading recovery. We do special education, serve the needs of those kids, of those educators out there, leadership development at the building and district level, innovations in education through multiple programs, including tiny houses and innovation micro investments for teachers to try new things. So we try to be a comprehensive organization and support schools where they are with what they need.
How many people work there, Jeff, at KBank?
We have 32 full and part-time folks at KBank.
Yeah, I want you to think of all those things you listed and all those things you guys do so well. And I know it because I've known you for years. I said you were one of the best DSAs out there, one of the most active, and you are, okay? 32 people. Think about that. That's amazing. Just 32 people are getting all this stuff done. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are full and part-time. So
wow.
That's
do you guys
those
sleep?
People are
Desi, is Jeff giving you time off to sleep? Is Jeff giving Desi, are you sleeping? Des?
I think
where's Desi?
I think she may have dropped off the call, but she'll pick it back up here in just a second.
Oh, okay. All right. But I still have her connected here.
She's trying to get her microphone to work, I think.
Oh, geez. Hit the mute button. Maybe that's it. Hit the mute button. It's on mute. I don't know.
I'm going to, and I'll tell you what we're doing, Larry. This is how high tech we are. We both came out in the parking lot of our office and were sitting in different vehicles to have this conversation because
we
had a lot of stuff going on inside the building and didn't want that noise. But Desi just stepped over and climbed up in the truck.
Desi, are you there?
My phone went off. My phone died. I don't know what happened to it.
So. I've still got you connected on this end. Which one was your number? Was it 1-6 at the end or 4-5 at the end?
The 4-5.
Okay, I'm going to kill the 4-5. We're just going to deal with the 1-6. Is that all right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. And nothing's going to happen. Okay, there we go. You guys still there?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Okay, so that's how high-tech I am. I was worried I clicked the wrong box. So there we go. Desi, I was saying how much work you guys do with just 32 full and part-time people there. And I'm concerned, is Jeff giving you enough time to sleep? Are you okay? Is he being nice to you?
Yes. Yes. I think what makes this so great is that everybody here has a passion for education and for the kids that we serve. So that makes it very worthwhile, and we don't mind going without a little sleep.
I know you don't, and you know you say the kids you serve, and you serve the administrators and the teachers too. Let's not forget that. You guys are really something. It's KVEC, everybody, Kentucky Valley Ed Co-op. Okay, I have to ask this. Of course, there's a pandemic going on, all right, and everything changed. Okay, you guys are in rural Kentucky. We've talked about this many times. You know, there's an access problem, okay, and in many ways, but we'll talk broadband. In this case, you know, with the Kentucky hollers, the valleys, the one way in, one way out, there can be an equity situation. How we, you know, COVID-19, what changes has it brought about? What do you see in terms of access, et cetera? Okay, I just want to find out because that's an important update that can be shared with everybody. And I know if there's any way you could figure it out, you did. What's going on? I'll throw that to Desi, and you can put it to Jeff if you wish. Desi.
Well, I think for us, we, in March, when the COVID forced all of the schools to close their doors to in-person learning, we didn't stop here at KVEC, and we had an initiative ongoing as far as making sure that our teachers had a number of devices for the students. But I think that it forced us to take a look at the broadband issues in rural America, because for a long time, I think people knew that we didn't have the level of broadband that we needed, but it was just kind of pushed on the back burner, and everybody was saying, well, it's there, it's there. But when our teachers went home and were trying to do virtual learning, well, they had their own children there who was logging in to do work. We had people working from home. And so that really raised the level of communication about the necessity for a higher level of service for broadband in rural America. So the one that is, I think that's one of the most important things that it did was really to up that level of discussion.
It did force the issue. And, you know, the pandemic, and I'll say this, I've said it a million times, everybody knows it, the pandemic stinks. It stinks, okay? And it hurt a lot of people, okay? Let's just say that right off the bat. But it forced us to look at ourselves, okay? It forced us to look at ourselves. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say you're exactly right. And in our work, really trying to look at access, we've recognized the fact that this pandemic has really pointed out how important access to the internet is for everyone, especially kids. And in our rural area, which is what, you know, what we're familiar with and know about, we know that we're going to be turning more and more into the future, even after the pandemic is over.
That's
to, curriculum that is available through the internet, because it allows us to expand on a rich curriculum for kids. We also know that employment is often hinged on access to the internet, because folks can work distantly and remotely. We know that healthcare.
Good point.
In many cases, is related now because of telehealth to the internet. And maybe as importantly, we know that in order to be a citizen in this country and engage in the democratic process, it's critically important that folks have access to the internet and that we learn how to understand how to engage in civil discourse with that framework, and how we can teach each other and learn together how to be consumers of information so that we can discern fact from fiction and truth from reality.
You're here.
So it's a big issue. And one of the
it's a huge issue.
Really quickly, one of the cool things that came out of the Tiny House Project that Desi had launched several years ago, we have three teams of kids now who have taken small box trailers, and they have retrofitted those with solar panels on top. And inside the trailer is a Wi-Fi modem that can connect to a cellular signal.
Wow.
So those can be moved from community to community to give kids free access to the web. And a lot of our schools make their parking lots available so that kids can do that. But because of the density of population, the low density of population here, many of our kids may live 40 or 50 minutes away from the school.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take those smaller trailers. We hope to make more, but part of our effort was to prove the possible but be able to create a more democratized access to the internet for those kids.
That's wonderful, and I've heard stories about districts parking school buses with modems on it so that people can, you know, they park them at the end of the line, so to speak, when they drop the kids off, so people around there, if they're far out, have internet. But I haven't heard the idea of the trailers. It's simpler. It's easier. I think that's a great idea. Thank you. It's a tremendous idea. Why am I not surprised that you guys figured that out? Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, well, I wish we could lay claim that that was our original idea, but we had actually heard that someone else had a modified version of that. So we were able to get kids together, and they took that idea and blew it up and turned it into a solar panels and having that, you know, you don't have to worry about
idea.
The bus battery you put down, and it makes it much cooler.
And, you know, I got to say something else. I know we're going to talk about social emotional learning, but when you did with that is really social emotional learning. And I just have to say this, there's a stress involved if you can't access stuff. You feel bad about yourself. You can't access what other people are accessing. It makes you feel bad. These kids, okay, who took the time to use their expertise and put this together and get it out there to communities, they not only made themselves feel great that they were able to really do something good for their community, okay, but they made other people feel like they had to understand that they now had access to everything. They were not limited. That's a huge social-emotional thing, and I hope I'm not drawing that out too far, but I believe it. It's a huge thing in this day and age to give people access, equal access, okay, in this case to learning. Both sides have to feel great about that. Was there any thought about that? I hope somebody understood that along the way. They had to feel great about that. Jeff, Desi?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I really had not thought about that in that context before, but that's exactly right, because what these kids who designed these units did was to make kids and people up in those hollers feel good about themselves and let them know that them being able to have access to Internet services was important, and the need for that for everybody. So I can remember when we first began our tiny house project, and one young man, and I may have told this story before, Larry, on the show.
Tell it again.
One of the young men who enjoyed building tiny homes, he came to his school, and he said, you know how athletes walk down the hall with swag? He said, I now walk down the hall with swag.
Damn right.
I've built tiny house. And so,
damn right.
You know,
he's a champ.
Exactly. And so what our kids who took that upon themselves to build these box trailers out so that kids up in hollers who didn't have good Internet service, it let those kids know that they belong to that community and
that's
that
right.
They were important. So you're exactly right. That does important.
Yeah, they are now, and they should be, and I hope they recognize it, valued members of the community. They did something.
And very essential.
Yeah, and they are. And we talk about social-emotional learning, all the curriculums and all that sort of stuff, okay? This is social-emotional learning, if I may, at its very heart.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jeff.
That's exactly right.
No,
Jeff?
I'm agreeing with both of you.
Yeah, thanks, pal. Thanks, pal. It's just
well,
I love what you guys do.
And the thing is with social-emotional learning, and we in our school systems, because of budget cuts and all this, we focus all of our attention on cognitive learning. But we really don't focus a whole lot on the non-cognitive barriers to learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that in itself, building these units and having those kids in the hollers be able to have Internet service, that helped them overcome,
huge.
You know, a non-cognitive barrier to learning.
You're darn right.
Could,
I mean, that works on so many levels. It's beyond words. Okay, so I congratulate you on that. And the segue into social emotional is really important. I know you guys, and I'll throw it out there. Okay, social emotional learning, early learners in particular, you're concerned about what's going on with all that. And I know you've got this pilot project, which I want you to talk about. So I just want to let's go there. So Jesse, Jeff, whoever, Jesse, Desi or Jeff, whichever one of you, Jesse, that was good. Okay. Desi, Jeff, look at each other, decide who wants to talk about the pilot program that you're doing. And it has to do with a group called Ripple Effects. And I want you to talk about that as well if you want to. So it's yours. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I'm just going to open it really briefly because this is really another one of Desi's brainchild. We're expert at talking about it. But one of the reasons that we wanted to focus on early learners in particular at this time is because they are some of the most vulnerable folk in our population. Without the safety net of school, of preschool or kindergarten, there are a lot of opportunities for those kids that they are not able to be exposed to when they have to learn in a virtual environment. And it was really important to us that we try to figure out a way that would also enable us to connect with their caregiver, whether that's a grandparent or a parent, because without having the teacher physically present, those early learners need their caregiver or parent to be able to help them navigate learning in this new world that we're living in. And the social-emotional component of that, we all need skills to be caregivers and to be parents. And part of the work that Desi and Alice have begun through this pilot really provides resources for those adults to be partners in the learning with those young children. And I think it's just it's a marvelous initiative that is underway there. And I'm going to turn this back over to Desi, who can speak about it in more detail.
Yeah, and by the way, well, Jeff, wait before you go, Desi, I just want to remind you both, I'll tell you both about something. I want to introduce you to a superintendent I know who's a great guy up in Michigan. His name is Eddie Manusak, and he is the superintendent of Dundee Community Schools in Michigan. And he kind of runs the early learning symposiums, the cohort, for what's called AASA, the School Superintendents Association. Eddie is a former kindergarten teacher. Okay, he's the only kindergarten teacher I know, that's male and became a superintendent. All right, and he's a great guy. All right, and he's very concerned about equity in early learning. So, if with your permission, I'll introduce you guys. Would that be all right?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll do it. You'll get an email from me when we're done here. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to ask your permission to do that. Okay, Eddie Manusak. You'll love him. Okay, great guy. Go ahead, please continue. Ripple Effects, the new program. Go ahead.
Okay, Desi. We actually began a relationship with Ripple Effects, and Alice Ray is the CEO at Ripple Effects, and through Project Prevent grant in 2014. And with that, it was to focus on non-cognitive barriers to learning for kids in grades 3 through 12. So Alice has been working on a program for our early learners, and it's called Bouncy the People Trainer. And Bouncy is an animatronic plush puppy dog with a prosthetic leg and one brown eye and one blue eye because... That,
perfect.
You know,
I get it.
Our kids, yeah. That
I get.
You know,
I already know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that program, then with our Bouncy, we had it in place, and we had it with a Head Start, kindergarten, autism unit, and at a nurse's station. So we had four, and we were doing a pilot, and then we had a sister group in Chicago that was doing a pilot as well with Bouncy. And it was working wonderful. There's songs, but the teacher uses Bouncy in the class, and the kids learn how to self-regulate with their breathing, and they learn how to be calm and strong in stressful situations because early learners, you know, they get anxiety when their parents leave them, and they're learning all these new things and their peers. So when COVID hit and everybody was sent home, this Bouncy was still being used by the teacher. But what we heard from teachers was our little ones in a virtual world because little ones need that contact. They need that smile. They need structure. And parents were having a difficult time because the little ones didn't want to sit still and do their work. And so one day Alice and I were talking, and I said, well, you know, what if we had a little bouncy that kids could take with them? And Alice thought that was a great idea. So she got busy then with her staff and their Ripple Effects and created a little bouncy, a service dog, because, you know, to earn that vest, that service vest, you have to learn how to be in control. And I said, well, you know, then the little ones could have these little bouncies, and that could be a homework helper because, you know, little bouncy can go with them wherever they go. And they, it's something that they can hold on to. Little kids, just like a blanket that Linus took with him on Charlie Brown and carried around. Well, they carry this little dog around. And and then to help the parents, we created an activity guide so that parents could know, have some ideas and on how to work with the kids. There's music videos, and then that they could log into and work through things with their kids. And we knew that, all these little kids, they need their peers. They need their friends. And so in that box that the kids get with the little bouncy to take home with them, there's a blanket and there's a mask with bouncy on it so that, you know, they're not afraid of masks. And there's also, so it's just great. And then with the activity guide and there's stickers that, because all little kids love a sticker. And then she created player cards for sports. She created player cards with little kids' pictures on them that identifies their likes and their dislikes, what they're good at and what they would love to improve on, and all about them. And so then that our early learners themselves can create their own little player card. And then so when the teacher does the virtual learning, the teacher has the big bouncy, and the little early learners, they all
kids
have
can
their
emulate
little
it.
Bouncy.
Yep.
Yeah. And it teaches them responsibility because they're taking care of their little bouncy, and they're all going to meet back up when they get back to school in person and be able to do some things. So it's really, really great. And it's about building these strengths for little kids. And so I think that's it lets them know that they are loved, because little kids, they need that. They need to have relationships. And so through the videos and the self-talk that these little kids are learning in those videos, they're learning how to be calm and how to be strong and how to realize that if they get in a situation, a stressful situation, then that they can calm themselves by learning these breathing techniques. And so it's a wonderful new program that we've got in place with those pilot schools that were doing that in the first place with the bounce.
Okay, so you're here. So I know the program's good. Are you here? I assume you're hearing terrific things from the educators involved about the success of it. Would I be correct?
Absolutely. And one success story that I'll share with you is with
Please.
The autism unit. One young man who had not spoken, he was a nonverbal early learner. And so he had his little bouncy. And one of the songs that they teach you in that, you know, the repetitive songs so that little kids can learn it. It's
they
about
feel comfortable,
being
yeah.
calm
yeah.
and strong. And then there's a, you know, one, two,
there are days
three, four,
I could
five.
Use that. There are days I could use that, Desi, believe me. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so here's this little early learner, this little boy who had never spoken, and he starts singing that song.
Ah, wow.
One, two, three, four. So, you know, and they have him on video, and the teacher's
wow.
just amazed, and his parents are just amazed. And
wow.
So how, I
wow.
mean, that's just wonderful that you have that kind of success. And then these little kids, they are doing their homework because they've got their little bouncy who's sitting on
sitting
their
there.
Shoulder and making those connections with the teacher. And they've got little bouncies in that if they're stressed over something, they can talk to little bouncy and then share that with the teacher and big bouncy when they do the virtual learning.
Did you talk to my friend Phyllis over at the Council of Administrators of Special Ed? Did you talk to her at all about this? Did you guys ever get in touch?
We did not. I sent her an email, but I will send her. I'll follow
send
up
her another
on
that,
one. But I did send her an
She's
email.
Wonderful.
I will. I sure will.
Yeah, don't be shy.
And
she's a great lady. You'll love her.
Yeah, she'll love you.
And
we've been doing some videos, and so when you make that connection with your principal friend that you were talking about, he can log in and look at some of the videos. The superintendent,
Eddie's a superintendent. And again, it's so rare right off the bat, a male kindergarten teacher, not only that, but one who became a superintendent of a district. Okay, so he's really interested in early learning and equity. He's an amazing guy, again, up in Dundee Community Schools in Michigan. You know, so you've got bouncy. What happens next? Mm-hmm. You know it's working where you are, okay, in Kentucky with your schools, okay, that you guys service. What's the next step?
Well, the next step then would be when we get back into school is to hopefully be able to, with our early learners, with the teacher using the big bouncy in the classroom, and then the early learners can all take the little dog kennel that we have, Bouncy, our little Bouncy, the service dog, and have parents then be able and caregivers to work with them. And so using the avatars and the music videos and the interactive books that they have, this sets those high expectations, and kids are learning that they're born for greatness and that they can all learn. And the beginning of that, though, is about being calm and strong. And just like Bouncy, they're going to be calm and strong no matter what kind of challenge that comes about. It's a challenge that they can overcome, just like Bouncy earned that service dog vest, and by working through challenges of having a prosthetic leg and not being included a whole lot because they were different, because Bouncy's different with one blue eye and one brown eye, that these kids, it doesn't matter what kind of adversity comes along, they can work through it because they know how to self-regulate and be calm and strong. They know that they're born for greatness, and they know that they're loved.
They really are. The brown and blue eye thing, and I'm sure it came out of this, and I just cannot remember her name, that famous researcher who uses that to teach bigotry. Okay, and she divides classes into the blue-eyed kids and the brown-eyed kids, and the brown-eyed kids or whatever can't do, they're not allowed to do what the blue-eyed kids can do, where just by an accident of birth, okay, they are discriminated against, and that shakes up the world, okay, and of course it's not fair, and that's what the kids learn, and we learn the challenges of that. Jeff, I interrupted you. You were going to say something.
No, I was glad you brought that up because that I think that was one of the reasons that the animatronic dog did have multicolored eyes. But what I was going to say was that a lot of the work we do is about revealing what's possible. So I think as we go forward with this, part of the effort will be to make this available to folks nationally.
That's what I was thinking.
So
I was hoping,
Yeah, so we can use some of the data that we're collecting now and some of the real anecdotal reflections, like the video that Desi mentioned of the young kid who hadn't spoken, being able to do that and being captured on video, to let other folks in other parts of the country know that this is a possible solution that they may want to incorporate into their programming. But I'll just reinforce the fact that Bouncy really builds a bridge, not just to the child, but to the child's caregivers, because they become involved in that process of learning and that process of kids building confidence and knowing some and some coping skills to deal with trauma in their life. And for many kids, just attending school is traumatic in some way. Ugh. So that bridge building is, to me, an incredibly important element of this initiative.
Well,
I'm glad you said that. Go ahead, Jess. Go ahead, Jess.
And just one other thing about that, because it reminded me of what some of the things that our parents had said. You know, this pandemic has created anxiety in these homes where parents are home trying to take care of their own kids. They're trying to work, and many of our teachers, then they're having to do virtual learning, and some of them are going for in-person. So many of the teachers have said they love the bouncy videos and the interactive games because it's helped them learn how to regulate their breathing, and they're being able to be calmer and stronger and themselves. So the adults are learning how to do that because, I mean, they're under a lot of stress as well. So and we've had that kind of information being provided by the adults who have been working through these musical videos with their early learners and accessing that. And they said that they find themselves going around singing that, you know, you can be calm. And they find themselves singing those little tunes and stuff. And so it really helped them as well.
Well, that, you know, I said before, I could use one of those when you were talking about the cute little songs. Okay, uh-huh. We can all use that. I mean, these are stressful times. These are stressful times. Mm-hmm. And the more we get the teachers to, and they do, that's kind of a silly way to say it, but the more we mm-hmm. get the teachers to teach social-emotional learning, they are more able to use it for themselves. Okay, and believe me, they know how important it is. And mm-hmm. by the way, on that note about autism, and you mentioned something like this, the world these days, I just did a show earlier this week with the Landmark College. It's a wonderful college in Putney, Vermont, for kids who learn differently, okay, neurodiverse mm-hmm. kids. And they're doing marvelous work. These are young adults who are going to go into the workforce with autism. And there are more and more companies, okay, more than willing to accept these people and work with them and create a place, okay, where they are comfortable and where they can thrive and where they can grow within the workforce. And I'm talking about both professional jobs as well as blue-collar work, okay? It's both, okay? Not the blue-collar isn't professional. Let's call it white-collar versus blue-collar, okay? I didn't like the way I said that, all right? The point is the more we give the people confidence at the very beginning, boy, they're going to be terrors by the time they get to sixth grade. Okay, that's what we want in them too.
Yeah,
you know, that's what we want in them too. I hate to do this. We're running out of time, guys. So we got to go. I love it, and I have to get Desi back into the heat of the building as opposed to the car.
Yes. Right? Well, we appreciate it.
Oh, you kidding
always
me? I love having you.
Always
on.
Good to talk with you, Larry.
Jeff, it's great to have you here. Desi, as always, you know, and you guys are always welcome here. Okay, so we'll plan some more of these and get the word out there. All right, and I also love when you bring on your varied superintendents. That's a lot of fun to have them on and talking about it. Okay, because you guys are in the thick of it down there, and you all do a great mm-hmm. job. So thank you very much, KVEC people. I appreciate this.
Thank you, Larry.
Yes, thank you.
My pleasure. We will be talking soon. I'm just going to say I hope to talk to you before Christmas, but if not, have a good one. I don't know where the hell we're all going to do our shopping this year, but wherever, I guess Amazon. Ho, ho, ho. All right? Yeah, ho, ho, ho. It's Amazon. So that's the UPS guy. Shouldn't be walking around wearing Santa Claus suits. That's the only way we're going to shop this year. You guys stay safe down there, all right? And we'll talk soon.
Hi. Sir, you too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, pal. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Jeff Hawkins and Dr. Desi Bowling down at KVEC, the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative. That is in eastern Kentucky, literally in the hollers and valleys. Holler is a valley, one way in, one way out. They taught me that. Okay, and they're just so great. And I've never met a group, and they bring their superintendents every so often. I've never seen a group of more dedicated educators than the folks I talked to surrounding KVEC. All right, so check it all out, okay? Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative, they have great stuff. And this little bouncy will make us all calmer, all right? Check it out. All right, now go over to ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Okay, and that's where we're going to archive this podcast and where we have our magazine, which you will enjoy. Join with us. It's free, and we want your voice heard about equity. If you're in education, my name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks for listening today.